Now, what a fascinating couple more hours we have for you here on Coast to Coast AM. We are going to be talking about that incredible television show that I'm so proud to be in, Ancient Aliens, with the creator of the program. And, of course, Giorgio Tsoukalos will be with us as well, along with Kevin Burns. I'll tell you all about both of them in a minute on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Two special guests for you tonight. First of all, you all know Giorgio Tsoukalos. He's been on with me many times, and he also stars in Ancient Aliens. Giorgio has often been described as the real-life Indiana Jones. He's a trailblazer, publisher of Legendary Times, and here he is back on Coast to Coast. Giorgio, always a pleasure.
Same here, George. Great pleasure to be back. Thank you so much for having us tonight.
Oh, and it was great seeing you at AlienCon just a few weeks ago. That was fun.
It was a fantastic time, really. Absolutely. It was absolutely tremendous.
Now, the creator, of course, of Ancient Aliens, he's an author. The name of his book is called Ancient Aliens, the companion book. Created the television show with Giorgio called, of course, Ancient Aliens. He owns Prometheus Entertainment in Los Angeles, where he produces many other programs. Kevin Burns here on Coast to Coast. This is a first time for you, Kev, isn't it?
Yes, it is, George, and thank you very much for having me on.
I'm looking forward. By the way, you are a great speaker. I was watching you at AlienCon, and you just kept the audience on the edge of their chairs.
Well,
great job.
To, especially when the film stopped and I had to, you know, I had to vamp for a couple of minutes while they were fixing a technical problem. But yes, but thank you very much for that.
Kevin, tell me how the metamorphosis of Ancient Aliens started. How did that happen?
Well, I've always been interested in the topic ever since Eric von Daniken's book, you know, Chariots of the Gods.
Yeah.
And some time ago, about a year before the first Ancient Aliens special, it was only intended to be a two-hour special.
Mm-hmm.
But we were, my company was hired by Lucasfilm to do a documentary for the History Channel, tying into their new, you know, the fourth Indiana Jones movie, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And, of course, Lucasfilm was very secretive about it. They wouldn't tell me what the movie was about. They wouldn't share with us the script or anything. They just said, well, use the trailer and use the poster and make a two-hour show. And that didn't give us very much to go on. But in looking at the poster, I saw an elongated crystal skull. And I told my producers who I work with, I said, well, I know what this is. This is ancient astronauts. And they looked at me and said, what? I said, well, Eric von Daniken, Chariots of the Gods, and my producers had never heard of Eric or Chariots of the Gods. And I said, I remember seeing this documentary in 1972, Sun Classic Pictures, Chariots of the Gods. So anyway, we decided to do the Indiana Jones show much in that style of the documentary that I had seen. And the people from Lucasfilm called me and said, how did you know what our movie was about? I said, it was pretty obvious from the poster. so we got it right. Anyway, I told this same story to one of the executives at the History Channel because the show had aired and had done very, very well. And he said, well, I love Eric von Daniken. We would love to do an update of Chariots of the Gods. So I, you know, there was a young man in the Indiana Jones show. We called it Indiana Jones and the Ultimate Quest, because the common thread in the Indiana Jones movies is, you know, what I have to admittedly say is the search for God. It's the search for meaning. I mean, the first movie was about the Ark of the Covenant,
mm-hmm.
It was about the Shakira Stones. So, but there was a character talking about crystal skulls and ancient astronaut theory in our Indiana Jones documentary, and it was Giorgio. Although I didn't really know Giorgio, and I couldn't pronounce his last name at the time, and I just said, who's the guy with the hair? and I said, I would love to meet with him. And so Giorgio came into my office. We had never met. He was interviewed by my producer for the documentary. And I said, we're interested in ancient astronaut theory. I said, now, unfortunately, Eric von Daniken is probably no longer with us. And he said, oh, absolutely he is. And he's a very good friend of mine, and here's his phone number. Anyway, I called Eric and told him of the interest in doing a new Chariots of the Gods, and And he said, "Hurry up! I'm 72 years old. And, you know, don't waste any time."
Yeah.
And that was what was the Germanus for Ancient Aliens doing an update of Chariots of the Gods. The network said to me that there was a lot of opposition within the network. I probably shouldn't say that, where they thought it would jump the shark and that people would be very upset in doing the show. But that they were willing to do it, and they said, well, the good news is that they're going to give you permission to do the show, and the bad news is if it doesn't do a rating, I lose my job, the fellow said.
Wow.
And he was really kidding, but it put a lot of pressure on us. And it was never intended to be more than a two-hour show, and it rated so well, and every time they repeated it, it kept rating about the same, if not better, than the premiere. They came back and said, would you do five more two-hour shows? And I said, okay. And I said, well, how are you going to air them? They said, well, once a week. I said, no one watches a two-hour show every week. And they said, why, you don't want to do it? I said, well, of course I'll do it. And that's where the idea for the five rhetorical questions comes from at the beginning of every episode.
It's got to be one of the highest rated shows that the History Channel ever had, isn't it?
Well, it isn't so much that it's one of the highest rated shows. I mean, it rates consistently well. I would say it's one of the top 10 shows on the network. But what is unique about it is that every time they air it and re-air it and re-air it, it does very, very well. So,
yeah.
And no matter where they put it, it does well.
People find it.
But they're still running season one and season two episodes. We're in our ninth season. We're about to produce our 10th season. So it's a phenomenon.
It's really something. And I've got to tell you, Kevin, in terms of the notoriety, I go through airports, security, restaurants, events. People come up to me. And that's what they talk about. Of course, they know Coast to Coast. They know the radio show, but they see me. And they say, my God, we love the show. And they all say, what's that Giorgio guy with the hair like? So let's bring Giorgio in here. Giorgio, tell me, first of all, did you always have the high hair that you have now?
No, this is just was an organic byproduct. You know, I discovered the electric socket. And people loved it, and here we are.
They did love it, and it's you. It's become, like some people will wear bow ties and things like that. Your hair has become synonymous with who you are.
Well, look, if my hair gets people to talk about extraterrestrials, then what more can I ask for?
Giorgio, you have worked with Eric Von Däniken. He's still going strong. He was... a great influence for me in studying ufology and getting into broadcasting because I wanted to unravel these stories. How did you get to know Eric Von Däniken?
Well, this was actually because I was introduced to Eric fairly at a fairly young age, around 6 or 7, when my grandma read to me as bedtime stories, Chariots of the Gods or Edgar Cayce's Atlantis, those different ideas of an alternative history of mankind. But because I grew up in Switzerland, when I learned that he was also in Switzerland, when I was in my early teens, 14, 15, I started to hang out and go to his lectures. And I became friends with him and his circle of friends. And then in 1998, when the former Ancient Astronaut Society, Dr. Gene Phillips, decided to retire and not continue his research society, I approached Eric and I said, I'd like to take over start an American branch of Eric Von Däniken's research society, the AASRA, and here we are.
I remember being at an event with him. I think you were there too, Giorgio, years ago, and we were, after the event, we were all at a restaurant and sharing a glass of wine or two, and you know, the waiter came up to us and said, what would you like, sir? And I said, oh, give me a glass of Merlot. And he goes up to Eric Von Däniken and he went, give me a bottle of Merlot. One of
yes,
a kind.
Always a good time with him, yes.
One of a kind. His theory on the ancient astronauts, of course, through his book, is controversial. And it wasn't accepted right away. People in the field kind of argued with him a little bit about it, didn't they?
Sure, absolutely. And I think that we've definitely seen a change of tides, because, you know, in this day and age, you'd be hard-pressed to find any astrobiologist who would dispute the fact that life exists elsewhere in the universe. That's almost, even though we cannot pinpoint it, we really don't have a tangible piece of evidence as of yet, even though one could argue that as well, that we do have that with some microscopic pictures of meteorites that we found and things like that. However, today, the one taboo topic is no longer whether life exists out there. The taboo topic now is it possible that that life out there has already been here?
Exactly.
And therein lies the difference.
And, of course, I was at AlienCon a couple weeks ago in Santa Clara with Giorgio. Kevin Burns was there, too. But as I'm walking through the crowd, and it was just an immense crowd, there must have been close to 10,000 people there. There's this huge line, and I've got to get through these people. So I'm getting through them, but they're saying, hey, George, how are you? I come to find out that I'm at the end of a line of maybe hundreds of people for Kevin Burns' book, Ancient Aliens, the official companion book. One of your book signing, Kevin, this is new for you. Did you expect that kind of a crowd for that?
No. Well, you can never expect that, of course.
No.
It was the perfect crowd for that, though. I mean, AlienCon was a huge success. I mean, it was, over 15,000 people over three days. And we were expecting 5,000 to 7,000 people. So it was an enormous success, and the book has turned out to be an enormous success.
Did you always believe in the ancient aliens, ancient astronaut theory before you got involved in the TV show?
Well, you know, again, it is a theory. You know, I operate from the standpoint that it's a theory. It's a compelling theory, and there are, of course, people like Giorgio and several other contributors to the show who believe it to be fact based on their research and based on their deduction. I come at it from the standpoint of a documentary filmmaker, and I come at it from an open-minded. I mean, the one big thing about me is that I'm curious, I'm fascinated, and I'm open-minded. I don't come at it with a preconceived notion. And I remember in the very first meeting that Giorgio and I had, and Georgie and I joke about this, but I'll say to him, do you believe in this? And Giorgio said, I do not believe. I know.
Uh-huh.
And I loved that about him. And I said, well, then teach me. And this was really the journey that Giorgio and I started down about 6-7 years ago now. And so I'm very open-minded to it, and I believe a lot of it. I have to say I believe a lot more of it to be true now than I did when we started, but I never approached it cynically. In fact, one of the things you talk about, Chariots of the Gods, and Giorgio points out that when Eric's book was published, you know, there were a lot of people who scoffed at the idea that there was alien life in the universe.
Well, that's right.
But in the very first shot of the very first episode, we have Neil Armstrong landing on the moon. And I did that deliberately because I said, well, if you think this is far-fetched, that extraterrestrials could come to Earth, we have ourselves, only 60 years from the time of the horse and buggy, made it from Earth to a foreign body in space. So if we could do that within 60 years of driving horses and buggies, what makes us think that an intelligent entity in the universe could not do the same thing here?
Exactly. And I think the mistake that so many people who are skeptics about visitation, they all talk in terms of our propulsion systems. And there's no way, of course, they're going to get here the way we go out into space. They've learned how to do something different. Giorgio, what do you think it is?
Well, no, you hit the nail on the head, because, you know, I find it always very fascinating, and it's quite understandable that we approach the extraterrestrial question by looking at it from a human perspective, which inherently makes it complicated, because even though the ancient astronaut theory suggests that we are hybrids, that we are their offspring, it still, you know, doesn't answer a whole bunch of these questions that are at hand. And so I think it's quite fascinating.
You have had on the program, Kevin, some incredible people, many of whom have been on our Coast to Coast radio show as well. There's just an incredible group of folks out there who support the theories of Eric von Däniken, of course, and belief. Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, and so many others, Jason Martell, superstar that he is. I mean, the pool to pick for people for your TV show is immense, isn't it?
It is incredible. I mean, you know, David Childress, of course, William Henry, the late Philip Copens was a wonderful contributor to the show.
But yeah.
And we keep expanding it. I mean, it's interesting. In the earliest days of doing the show, it was very difficult to get academics or PhD professors at universities to appear on the show because they were reluctant to embrace, or at least publicly embrace, ancient astronaut theory. What happened was the show became so popular, the students of a lot of these academics demanded that they appear on the show. So now, it keeps expanding in terms of the contributors, but the core contributors, of course, led by Giorgio, have become so identified with the show, like yourself, George,
mm-hmm.
They've become, for lack of a better word, our stars. And so I'm happy to be on the phone with two of them.
Well, you're the creator, and that's what's important. You've also done Oak Island, right?
Yes, The Curse of Oak Island, which tonight actually began its fourth season. And a lot of people say to me, well, why don't they hurry up and find the treasure? and I said, well, we are 221 years into this treasure hunt. You have to give me some time.
That's right.
It doesn't happen as quickly as people would like to think.
It's a great story. So, Giorgio, so what's next for you with the program? Where does it go next?
Well, right now, actually, I have a couple of more lectures that I have to attend, and then I'm looking forward to a quiet holiday season. We're actually in the process of setting up some shoots in Japan and perhaps even India, because I was just there for a promo tour for the premiere of a new season in Southeast Asia, and we ended up in Japan. And for the first time ever was I able to check out some of the museums there. And, you know, I always knew that Japan was an interesting place for the ancient astronaut theory. But until you visit some of these places, you have no idea what you're talking about, because standing there in front of some of these artifacts, some of which I had never seen before, new discoveries or something never seen before, that is very exciting. And so I'm very happy that the Japanese branch of the History Channel is interested in getting us there for a potential one-hour show, and that's in the works right now. And I can't wait to return to that country, because there are some megalithic sites in Japan that blow other places out of the water.
Oh yeah, this planet's been visited, and there are so many things out there. Let's talk a little bit about the pyramids when we come back in just a moment. And a little bit more about your work, Kevin, the book, Ancient Aliens, the official companion book. Folks, if you love the TV show, you're going to love the book, Ancient Aliens. Kevin Burns with us and Giorgio Tsoukalos. Next hour, we'll take your phone calls with them about this incredible program and about the incredible possibilities that this planet has been visited by extraterrestrials from other planetary systems, maybe other dimensions as well. We'll be back. Okay, welcome back to Coast, back with Kevin Burns, of course, creator of Ancient Aliens, and Giorgio Tsoukalos, superstar of Ancient Aliens as well. Giorgio, where have you not gone? You've traveled everywhere, haven't you?
Almost. This is why I'm very excited about this possibility of perhaps going to India, because India is one of the few places that I know a lot about, but I haven't been there personally. And so if some of the destinations that we have on the docket come true, then, you know, see, what I've always spoken to with Kevin as well is that this journey that Ancient Aliens has taken me on has been absolutely, and I may just say it, it has been out of this world. Because, you know, I have been to places that I never thought I would even see in my dreams. And so, you know, I want to thank Kevin, I want to thank Prometheus and the History Channel. And above all, I want to thank the fans who have embraced the show with such love, because otherwise, without the fans, without the ratings, we wouldn't be here. And so I think that all of us, the three of us, should, you know, thank our listeners.
Oh, we do.
Thank our audience, because they are the ones who are right there with us on the journey. And, you know, I'm very, very, I feel very honored to have so many people along on this journey with us together.
Yeah, good for you, Giorgio. Kevin, is there a spot on the planet that you won't go to for the program?
No. No. In fact, there isn't even a spot off the planet we won't go to. You know, no, in fact, that's, again, you know, Giorgio said it. What has been great about the show, in fact, you know, stepping back after I was telling the story about the, you know, the 5 2-hour shows, and then they kept coming back and back and back. We've done over 116 hours as we speak. And after the first, you know, 12 hours, they came back to me and asked for more shows. And I said, well, I'm out of pyramids. I don't know what else to do. And, but the challenge has been, and Giorgio knows this very well, is that, you know, we've expanded some, you know, quite a bit beyond Eric von Daniken's Chariots of the Gods. And that has forced us to go all over and to really dig very deep and go very wide and embrace a lot of different theories and some things, you know, that are not very mainstream in terms of even ancient astronaut theory, but we've embraced a lot of various things and made connections that I would say that even Eric and Giorgio and several of the contributors had not made until we did Ancient Aliens. In other words, the show has allowed us to kind of build and build and build on ancient astronaut theory so that there are now profound things that we're looking into that we never knew possible 6-7 years ago.
And Giorgio, you've had fun doing this too, and that's so important, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, that's the short answer. I mean, it's been tremendous fun, in fact. I mean, you know, being able to travel the world and investigating true mysteries. You know, I've never been to Loch Ness. I've never been you know, Portugal. These are all different places that you dream about going to. And to be able to go there, not just to investigate this, but with a competent team that makes everything run so smoothly, that to me, it's truly an amazing experience. And, you know, I find it tremendous that the shows have received such a tremendous love by the audience, and it basically shows that somehow we've struck a chord. And that, I think, we, you know, is wonderful, because, you know, people have these enduring questions, and in this day and age, some of those answers that we've been given for hundreds of years may no longer be satisfactory, and therefore shows like Ancient Aliens come along to present a different viewpoint.
Good point. And Kevin, you've assembled a great staff that has worked on the program.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have... you know, executive producers, you know, there's Max Thompson and David Silver and Christina and my colleague Kim Sheeran, who runs Prometheus with me. You know, but there's writers and researchers. And
they are the true rock stars, if I may interject. They are the true rock stars because, and I've said this on a few occasions before, and Kevin was alluding to this earlier in the conversation, that, you know, not everything that we talk about is particularly, let's say, in my wheelhouse. So whenever I see something that I have to talk about, you know, it's like going back to school. I go to my books, I scour the internet to find out, you know, what is it now that the team at Prometheus has found out? And more often than not, I am incredibly pleased that, you know, this crack team of researchers find stuff that some of us haven't heard before. And I think that is a great testament to the team at Prometheus and, Kevin Burns.
Well, and thank you, Giorgio. You know, some of the ideas, George, come from various places. I mean, obviously, we begin with the research done by our contributors, mm-hmm. but sometimes, too, like the network will occasionally call me and say, can you do one on the founding fathers? Well, when that first came to me, I said, well, that's ridiculous. I mean, the founding fathers, I mean, you know, that to me was the jump the shark moment. And then when we researched it and got into it, it was astounding what we found. You know, how so many of the founding fathers were deists, or how many of them believed in extraterrestrial life.
That's
like
right.
Benjamin Franklin, or had an extraterrestrial encounter, like George Washington, or reported on it in his diary, which was Thomas Jefferson. In fact, when we were doing a show for H2 called In Search of Aliens, which Giorgio starred in, that was very immersive, and we took Giorgio to Washington, D.C., and the revelation that on top of the Capitol Dome in Washington, D.C., is a extraterrestrial. A lot of people don't realize, but it's the Iroquois Indians believed that the planet was discovered by a sky goddess, and that same Iroquois sky goddess is the figure on top of the Capitol Dome and was the inspiration for the Statue of Liberty.
I should know this, but has the show been nominated for Emmys at all?
No.
It should.
Not. But our reward, such as it is the fact that it is such a global phenomenon. I mean, even at AlienCon, Giorgio and I were, treated to fans from all over the world, particularly South America, Brazil, obviously in South America, but Brazil, Japan, India, they came from all over. And
European,
our show is like number
well
one in
Europe.
India.
Yep.
Well, you know, it was amazing at AlienCon, the panel that you assembled for me to host, you had to move it to a different venue because the room was too small.
Yeah, I mean, that was a brief nightmare, and for a lot of people who attended, we were astounded. You know, we thought people were going to come for a lot of other things because AlienCon was embracing popular culture and science fiction and Star Wars and Battlestar Galactica, and it turned out that 80%, and I'm not exaggerating, of the 15,000 or so people who came over 3 days were there for Ancient Aliens. So we had a panel room, which we knew when we booked the venue because we knew it was tight. It stood or sat 300 people. Well, we thought, well, maybe 500 or 800 people. Well, there were 3,000 people lined up for the panel at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. And at 10:15 when the panel started, there were about 2,700 very angry people, and we had to move the next panel to the convention auditorium where 3,000 people stood for the next panel. I mean, we never expected, it's like the line in Jaws, we have to get a bigger boat. That was very obvious to us at AlienCon.
Well, you learned a lot, and that was, I think, the first one, was it not? And so,
yes, it was the first one. Yeah. I mean, I've been to conventions. I've been, of course, to Comic-Con and Monsterpalooza and Chiller and Hollywood autograph shows and different things, and of course, Contact in the Desert and some of the other ones mm-hmm. that favor ancient astronaut theory. But never did we expect anything like this, and the people who put it on, including the History Channel, were just blown away.
Now, I love the folks in costumes, too, walking around all over the place.
That was me.
Yeah, that was tremendous as well. And obviously,
going
Halloween weekend, so it was amazing.
So how did the evolution of the book, Ancient Aliens, the official companion book, how did that evolve, Kevin?
Well, I'd always wanted to do a book ever since the success of the first and second seasons because we were interviewing such fascinating people. I mean, Eric, of course, and Philip and Giorgio and all these people who themselves have done all this research, and in many ways they're authors of their own books. But we were compiling an enormous amount of information because when we interview people, you know, I personally sat with Eric, you know, for 2-3 hours and interviewed him. And, of course, only 20-30 seconds of an interview at a time, or 2 or 3 minutes in a program, comes into the show.
That's right.
So we were struggling with how to do a book, and we tried a couple of times to hire an author who could take everything we had done and put it in a book, and it just didn't work. So we decided on an approach which is kind of obvious now in hindsight, which is to go to the individual contributors, to go into their transcripts, and to present kind of deep dives into their individual theories in the course of the book. So the book is something of an anthology of interviews with the key contributors to the series.
And it includes stuff that didn't necessarily appear on the show. So it's like an in-depth addition to things that have been discussed on the show, or stuff that has ended up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah. Well, it's a great
book. There's a chapter from Philip Copens. There's, I think, 2 or 3 chapters with Giorgio. Eric, of course, has a chapter. You know, all the key contributors, David Childress, you know, William Henry, you know, Jason Martel. So it is, you know, and Linda Moulton Howe. I mean, they're
no, absolutely. I mean, you just mentioned everyone, including also Jonathan Young,
yes,
as well, Kathleen McGowan,
yep,
David Wilcock, and Ariel Bard-Zadok, and Nick Pope, and also William Henry. So all your favorite people of Ancient Aliens have contributions in this book. And Kevin, you wrote the foreword for it.
Well, I wrote the foreword, which kind of explained the origins of Ancient Aliens. And and Kim Sheeran and the producers and the staff kind of went down into these interviews, because we have thousands of them now, and dug into them, and we did a job of editing them together. And, you know, it's fun. I mean, there's even a book, there's a version of it that's a book on tape, and Giorgio narrated his chapters, and I narrated my foreword, of course, and even our narrator, Robert Clotworthy, he does a lot of the interstitial introductions. And interestingly enough, because I'm also a Lost in Space geek,
Billy Mumy, great guy,
Cartwright, voice the other chapters of the book, you know, doing the male and female parts.
And Billy was out there.
Yes, he was at AlienCon as well.
Yeah, Bill, of course, I grew up loving Lost in Space, so I'm connected to this whole big world of science fiction as well. And Bill really loves the show. Bill will call me after every episode of Ancient Aliens and tell me what I did wrong or what I did right or what ideas he has. So we brought him in to the last season as a creative contributor, a consultant.
Oh, great. He's a good guy.
And actually, the episode we did last season on the Antarctic Pyramids, the premiere episode of season 9, was his idea and something that he contributed a great deal to.
And he's a great musician, too.
Yes, he is. So, you know, Will Robinson is kind of the patron saint of Ancient Aliens, I would say. And it was fun to have him at AlienCon along with Angela, you know, and the robot from Lost in Space. So I got to have my Ancient Alien Lost in Space connection there. Because, you know, let's face it, Lost in Space, they met all sorts of extraterrestrials on that show. And it's very funny because, you know, when I watched Lost in Space as a kid, you know, they're meeting up with Vikings, and you think, oh my God, that's ridiculous. Well, we've done a show called, you know, Aliens and Vikings, and then come to find out there is a direct ancient astronaut connection to the Norse gods. So who knew?
I got a kick out of watching our friend Seth Shostak from SETI. He's been on our program a zillion times. I love the guy. Definitely believes that there's extraterrestrial life out there, or he wouldn't be doing what he's doing, searching for it, but doesn't believe it's come here. And it was kind of neat to watch the panel kind of go at him in a very respectful way while he was defending himself.
But
well,
you know what?
I
was very courageous to be there. And Kevin, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I do find it kind of odd that somebody who spends his life trying to prove intelligent life exists in the universe is just as insistent on the notion that if it's, you know, it's like that old line, you know, there's a line from an old movie called Planet of the Vampires, with Barry Sullivan that says, if there's intelligent life on this planet, they must be our enemies. Seth's philosophy seems to be, if there's intelligent life in this universe, why would they come here? I thought it was a little bit strange, but he was very good. He was a good sport about it.
He really was. And he added some cover. You had somebody there, a rabbi, who we're going to get on this program on the radio show. I thought he did a great job.
He's brilliant, and he's added a whole dimension, because there is such a fascinating connection between ancient scripture, and he reads original Sanskrit. I mean, he dives into the Dead Sea Scrolls and the ancient texts and forbidden texts and unpublished texts. And the connections between ancient astronaut theory and things that are, if not biblical, pre-biblical. And even Eric himself was inspired by the Book of Enoch when he was a young boy. So those connections are fascinating.
Kevin, Giorgio, do you guys miss the late Zechariah Sitchin at all?
Well, I did not. Did you know him, Giorgio? Did you ever meet him?
I've met him on a few occasions. I think I've met him three or four times. And
great scholar. Just
yes,
a great
yes.
scholar.
I mean, of course I miss him. I mean, you know, he contributed a lot of stuff to this field. So it's awful that, you know, some of these guys are missing. Like,
to me it is such a profound honor that Eric is not only part of the show and has been a regular contributor to the show, but he really loves the show. And I think the show really honors and validates what he started.
He may be an extraterrestrial, because every time I see him, he's got more energy than the year before.
It's the blue jacket.
And he's three times as old of us than all of us together. So
I know. It's incredible.
I think it's either the wine or the blue jacket, one or the other.
Or a combination of both, maybe, huh?
Or the aliens, huh?
He's a hybrid.
Yes.
He is a hybrid, you know, but you can't interrupt him when he's eating. I will tell you that.
No, you don't want to do that.
No, and he has a knife in his hand. He'll use it.
and boy, if you go at him over his theory, he's going to go right back at you.
Well, he is extremely knowledgeable, as all of our key contributors are.
They are.
And everyone. And, you know, and that was what was also so great about the book. You know, there were some people who wondered why we wanted to do a book so badly. And I said, well, not only do we have all these incredible interviews that people don't really get to see in their entirety or read in their entirety, which the book offers the opportunity, but look at the pictures. You know, because Ancient Aliens, one of the things I'm very proud of about the TV series is that it's a gorgeous show.
Oh, it's one of the best produced shows I've seen, Kevin. We're going to be back in a moment. We're going to take phone calls with Giorgio Tsoukalos and Kevin Burns, Ancient Aliens.